Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. I want to say I thank God for being before you once again. I pray that you had a blessed day, a lovely day, and a day, praise God, that you spent time talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good day. I want to let you know, praise God, the more time you spend with him, the more he loves on you. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word Ministry, and I'm so glad that I'm able to come to you once again. It is only by his goodness and his grace that I am able to use and have use and activities of my limbs and being closed in my right mind. God is a good God. He's an awesome God. He's the only God and a living God. I thank him, praise God, for just choosing me because I didn't choose him. But he's an awesome God. I pray that you and your family is well. I pray that since the last time I spoke with you, that someone in your family, you or someone in your family, has gotten saved and given their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is all that matters. Because we must, praise God, seek him while he yet can be found. For there will come a day that he will not be around. Don't get caught without him. Choose him now that you may have eternal life. Don't get caught without him. I pray, praise God, that you made Jesus your choice. You see, I'll take Jesus for mine. You may have this whole wide world, but I will take Jesus for mine, because I know that he will stand forever. But this world is going down. I pray, praise God, that you are ready, praise God, to hear the word tonight, and that I just want to expound and upon the word, praise God, that you may have, praise God, more word, and that the understanding come with clarity, that you may get understanding while the word is coming forth. I pray, praise God, that you would take the time out of your busy schedule and listen to some of these messages that God is sending forth, and read your word and study your word, because there will come a time, my friend, that you will need this word. But I'm not sure what it will be around that you may reach to handle it. Amen. And Father, tonight, praise God, we come to you once again, Lord, because we recognize that your goodness, your grace, and your mercy is sufficient for us all. And Father God, we realize that you died for us all. And we realize, praise God, that the blood cleansed us all. And Father, I thank you, Father God, for the shedding of your blood. I thank you, praise God, for allowing us, praise God, to stand up under the umbrella of your grace and your mercy. Thank you for fresh mercy that you deliver to us every day. And I say, Father, I thank you. There is no other God like you. There is no other hope like you. And there is no other salvation like you. And Father, I appreciate you. And I thank you for how you kept my family, how you kept my loved ones, how you kept those that is connected to me, and how you continue, praise God, to keep us, Father. Even when we fall short, you yet, praise God, extend the hand of love. Father God, you're an awesome God. You're a true God, and you are a living God. And I thank you for it, and I bless you right now. But if I had to ask a question tonight, to go into the scriptures, to the word, it would not be such of an abrupt question if God had not parted the Red Sea, but he did. And I often think on the mighty miracle that God worked in the land of Egypt in the process of delivering his people from Pharaoh. And we must answer as Christians with a loud, proud voice. God can. God can. Won't he do it? God can. Ha, Jesus. And if I started tonight, praise God, I want to come to you, praise God, with the message, not can God. That's a question that is, doesn't even have room in the vocabulary. It shouldn't even be put forth out of our mouths. Can God? Are you doubting him now? But can God? No, God can. God can do all things but fail. God can save the unsavable. How do you know that, Ola? Because he saved me. Because he reached down, way down, and picked me up. He put my feet on a solid rock. Plucked me up out the muck and the marrow clay. I was sinking deep in sin. But he reached down and picked me up. He took me from a nobody to a somebody. God saved Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9:1-6. And Saul, yet breathing out his threatening and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, and went on unto the high priest and demanded and desired him to write a letter to Damascus, to the synagogues, more than one now, that if he found any of the saints of God, whether they be men or whether they were women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And when he brought them bound to Jerusalem, my friend, they were slaughtered all the days long. Yes, Jesus, thank you, God, for your grace. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, see, you have to understand, praise God, God knows your thoughts are far off even before you think them. You see, you think you're thinking, and God don't know what you're thinking. But he know what you're thinking. He know your thoughts are far off before you think it. You see, this is why he told Jeremiah, don't tell me that you're a child. I know you when your mother was placed into the mother's womb. I know your thoughts are far off. I know you. I know everything about you. I know what you're going to do next, say next. I know it already. And so Paul, praise the Lord, was Saul at the time, was going on his way to Damascus to slaughter the Christians. He was on a journey. He came near Damascus, and suddenly, quickly, there shined around him a light from heaven. Where did the light come from? Praise the Lord, it didn't come from Florida Power Light, Georgia Pacific. The light came from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice crying, saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said to his voice, who art thou, Lord? He's persecuting the saints, but he had enough sense to say, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. You persecuting my people. You're killing up my people. You are slaughtering my saints. And what you do to them, you do to me. Hey, God. And he said to him, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? And he said, it is hard to kick against the prick. And he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, how did he know that that was the voice of God? How did he not know that? He knew it. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do next. You see, I doubt seriously Praise God, if the early church was praying for Saul's conversion, is Saul of Tarsus a candidate for salvation? You know, most time we see people, we don't think he can be saved. You think he done just sold himself out? I don't think so, Seth. But God had the ability to save the unsaved. See, it's not for us to decide who God can save, who God cannot save. It is our ability, praise God, to give them the word of life that they, praise God, would hear it. The Bible says one water, one planet, and God give the increase. What we as saints of God must be doing is telling them, praise God, regardless of how bad we think they are or what they have done in life or what we put to stand like we're the judges over them. But God has the last say, so hallelujah. Yeah, God. He has the last say-so about the matter. Because Saul was killing saints, slaughtering them, and was enjoying it. But God had the ability to save the unsaved. God has the ability to do that. You see, God saved the whole city, not just one or two people. Hey, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, God saved the whole city of Nineveh. He saved everybody. But Jonah didn't want them saved. Jonah was angry because they didn't move when he said move. They didn't jump when he said jump. And he condemned them all to go to hell. Do you think that Jonah prayed for the salvation of those in Nineveh? I don't think so. He thought they were unsavable. He had already labeled them, told them you're going to hell because you know what? He was upset. He was mad. However, Jonah discovered that God is able to save the unsaved. Listen, son of man. Regardless of what your sins may be, or what you have done, or what you plan on doing, or what you think about doing, God is able to save you, unsaved loved ones, you unsaved. He's able to save you right now. Right now, he's able to do it. God can save you regardless of what situation you're in, but you must discover who he is. However, Jonah discovered that God is able to save the unsaved. And God saved the homosexuals in Corinth. What about God saving the homosexuals? What about it? 1 Corinthians 6:9, 6, and 11. No sin, praise God. God cannot deal with no sin. Only one sin, praise God. He said you will not be forgiven in this life, neither the one to come. And that is blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Regardless of what your condition is, God got it. He has the answer. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor eminent abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, one that steals and don't know they should be taking it, but they get it anyway. Regardless of what your sins is, if you're a murderer, you still can be forgiven and be saved. Jesus, Drunkards, covetousness, extorters shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you are washed, and you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of the Almighty God. If he can save me, he can save anybody. God can. God can. God can restore the unrestorable. God restored David. He was guilty of the murder of Uriah and adulterous with his wife. Hey, Jesus. But surely David can't be restored, can he? But if you read Psalms 51, God restored Peter after his denial in Matthew 26:69 to 75. And compare John 21:15-22. I can imagine that Peter would like to have crawled in a spider's hole. Yay! With him, praise God, with one of the worst people in the world. But guess what? Jesus didn't even see that. He didn't see that. He looked beyond his faults and saw his needs. Jesus bringing it up, no, he had been settled. See, he's been settled with Peter. He went out and he wept bitterly. What? But our God, Lord Jesus, forgives, he forgets. The Lord forgives. He don't hold grudges. He doesn't try to do what man does, because once you do something to anybody, a human being, they hold it against you for the rest of your life. You can tell them all the time, I'm sorry, but they still got it in their heart. They'll never let it go. They'll never release it. They'll never forget it. They'll walk away from it, but even though they still say, I'm not going to do it. They have not forgiven. They can't forgive. God can do the unthinkable. You see, Elijah, praise the Lord, in the book of Elijah and the axe head in 2 Kings 6:5-6, but as one was falling, a beam, you see, a beam was falling, and the axe head fell into the ward. And the one that borrowed the axe, he cried and said, Allah, Master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in hither, cast it into the water. And the iron did swim. God can. An iron axe swimming, floating, God can. There is nothing impossible with him. Hey, God, Yedebosa. These words came from the lips of the man who was trying to do good with the borrowed axe. The axe head fell off, and it went into the bottom of the Jordan River. Not at the top, but at the bottom. What do you think this man thought when Elijah put that stick into that water? What happened was unthinkable. Because nowhere, and I know of yet, that iron has floated in water, but God can. Hey, Jesus, he can raise the dead. Praise God. In Mark 5:34-35-43, as we read the passages, and you will discover that those associated with this man and his daughter has accepted that he was dead, and there was no more need for Jesus. There's no more need for Jesus because the man was dead. But, however, God can. Hey, God, that now Jesus brought thought. Jesus, as an incarnation God in a human body, had no problem with raising the dead. He did it because God can do the unthinkable thing. Don't put limits on God. Take him off the ruler that he can let you know that he can. Jesus, yes. And he can, because, praise God, every place at once. He's unthinkable because he can be in every place at one time. In Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without our Father. It is unthinkable that even God has the power and the presence and the omnipotence to know when a sparrow falls to the ground anywhere on this planet. However, God can. He can do it. He know it. Hey, Jesus, what a powerful God. What a powerful God. God can recall every idle word. Ooh, Jesus. In Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men speak shall, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men speak, men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Our idle words, Jesus, will be replayed back that you may hear. So we better watch what we say, because this is going to happen. Because this what? He said it. God can. How big is your God? Can God remember every idle word that we say? Even the ones we say under our breath. Ooh. But God can. God can. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. God can supply the unsuppliable. He's able to do anything but fail. Yeah. Anything but fail. God can. 2 Corinthians 8:1-4. It says, praise God, moreover, brethren, we do you to witness of the grace of God bestowed upon the church in Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affection, the abundance of their joy and their deep put poverty abound into the riches of their liberty. Wow. For to their power I bear record, yet and beyond their power they will, and they were willing to themselves, praying much for us, with much, you know, with much praise God of entreaty, that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the Spirit and to the saints. God can. God can do anything but fail. There is no failure in God. There is no shortness in God. There is no good luck in God. It's only blessing stored in God. He is not short concerning his promise. If he said it, he will make it good. He is not a God that he can lie. He said it. He can. He can and he will. He promised you, praise God, that he was going to go and prepare a place for us. And when we go, he will come back and to receive us unto his own. God can. He will, because he cannot lie. God cannot lie. He can. He cannot lie. God can supply every unstoppable need. Everything you desire, God can do it. God can do it. But can you believe God? Can you believe God? Can you believe God to do just what he say he could do? Can you believe God is not slack concerning his promise? Can you believe, praise God, he's able to, praise God, to complete whatever he has started? Whatever he has started, he will complete. He's not a God, praise God, of incompletion. He's a God of completion. He promised us. People who are involved, praise God, in the faith mission can learn from these verses. Paul used the word deep poverty to describe them. Yet he said they gave beyond their power. It is not hard to figure out that if they were giving beyond their power, God was supplying them with the things they need to give. We have no power. We are powerless without God. God can do everything except fail. There is no failure in him. Ah, Jesus. There is no shortage in him. Yes, Jesus. Yeah. There is no shortage. There is no failure. There is none in him. If he said it, he will do it. He will bring it to pass. He will show up and show out. Yes, yes. He will make the devil, let the devil know, that's mine. Those are my children. God can. God can do what he say he will do. Take the limits off of God. Take the limits off of him. Allow him to have his way in your life. Allow him, praise God, to to use you to the utmost. Allow God to use you as an instrument. Is anything too hard for God? God can. Yes, God got me. He supplies my need. He protects. He shields. He fulfills. God can. He can. God is nothing too hard for God. Is it impossible? Is anything impossible for God? Nothing is impossible. What do we learn from this? We learn that when God supplies, we can promise. And he promised us it shall come to pass. He will bring it to pass. He sees all. He knows all. And there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed. So let us walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. There are eyes going to and fro, watching over the earth. God sees and he knows. Nothing get past him. He see it. God can furnish you a table in the wilderness, in the presence. Hey, Jesus, glory to God. In the presence of your enemy. My Jesus, I thank you, Lord, because I know and you can. I thank God, praise God, because he's simply saying, do not cut me short. Do not think, praise God, for me, because my thinking is much higher than your thinking. It's much higher. I can. If you could trust me, believe me, seek me, get to know me, God says I can furnish you a table in the presence of your enemy in the wilderness. God can. Nothing is impossible. Glory God. Nothing is impossible for God. He worked miracles in possible. I thank God, praise God, that you get the message. God will furnish you a table in the presence of your enemy. God can. There is no need now for you to ask the question anymore. Can God? No. It has always been God can. And you be blessed. You be blessed. I thank God, praise God, for the word tonight. I know God can. And I pray that you get to know God can. You be blessed. Until the next time, God bless you.